Here, it's good to see everyone. I'm glad that my family are together. I don't know how to turn this on. Is that on?
Yep. Is it on, Greg?
Oh. Is it on? Can you hear me? Good. Pastor Clark, good to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time, and the family. We always see the family because we have them on disc, and we sing the songs, and we memorize them. I appreciate that. I often sing their songs in our sermon when I preach. Sometimes a lot I sing, remember the song you sing, I remember the joy that I had as a boy when he saved me. The peace that I had, I was happy and glad when I knew that he heard my cry. Some of my friends try to say when you get a little older, the fire in your soul will grow a little colder. What I got was more than a dose of religion. I became a genuine born-again Christian. And I stand here now to testify. I still get a thrill. And I'm so excited about that. No. I thank you for that. And that song, it's not just a song that they sing, it's a test. I feel that. I believe that. You know, in a lot of songs that we sing, the brother was singing about joy in our heart, and I was lost going to hell. And Jesus saved me. That's enough to give me joy for eternity. And I don't have to muster it up. It's there. You know, and I had God in my head, but I didn't have Jesus in my heart. And I'm concerned, especially being in the jungle for many years. Coming back to America, it's a little bit like, oh, what's going on? And every year I see it getting worse. And I don't mean just worse government and problems that we're having in society. That's always going to be bad. I never looked at the government anyway to be my spiritual leader. So I never expected anything spiritual from them. But I've noticed in the church, and a lot of people, when they came to Paraguay, and the souls that got saved in Paraguay, all they wanted to talk about is how they got saved. And the fellowship among the brethren were just talking to one another how I got saved and who I was and what Jesus made me and God's so good and I was going to hell but now I'm going to heaven and my grandma needs to get saved, my aunt. And that was the fellowship. Our fellowship was about the Bible and our salvation. But then I come to the churches in America because I'm a missionary, so I have the privilege to travel and be in 50 churches, 60 churches. I've been on furlough, so I don't know how many churches I've been to. And you see different types of people and color and different sizes. Some are big, some are medium, some are small. Sometimes the biggest churches give less, and the smallest churches you think these people have nothing to give the most. And then sometimes you think this and this, and so it blows your mind all the different types of Christians and churches are out there. But did you notice what I've noticed a lack of? And I'm sure the pastors here would agree. A genuine excitement about being saved. And it seems like a lot of people, when they first get saved, they're real excited. And then they just become religious. You know, and they come to church. And they're moral. And then they start to learn to dress right. And then they put the tie on and they look good. And then some of them forget who they were. They forget who they were. And they forget so much because they've been living in church so long. Praise God. That's a good thing. They're cleaning up their life. Praise the Lord. That's a great thing. But then they forget who they were. And then they start judging and putting people down. And they don't have mercy on people. But they forgot who they were. And the only reason why we're even here is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason why I have, honestly, a tie and a sports coat on and any is because of Jesus. The only reason why I'm even in church and I can give you a hug and say I love you is because of Jesus. But you don't really see that. And I've noticed that. When you talk about salvation, the church members, they get nervous. And I'm concerned about that. You have a lot of people, I mean hundreds in the congregation. But if you actually go up to them and say, hey, tell me about how you got saved. Let me tell you how I got saved. Just pure excitement like a child. Just want to fellowship around Jesus and being born again. And people get nervous and they start, it was a long time ago. Well, tell me about it. Well, a pastor came to my house and prayed a prayer, and now I'm in church. And I'm like, okay. And what's interesting is we hear the songs. We hear songs, I'm joyful and the grace of God and I remember who I was. But then I never really find people or Christians that act or talk like the songs we sing. And sometimes I'm wondering if the drunk on the street and the hypocrite and the liar and the person who's having problems, they're coming into the churches and they're hearing all the songs, but then they're looking at the people and going, and you know what? I'm not even talking about outward holiness. I think America's tired of it. See, before, back in the 60s, I read, you know, the Independent Baptist movement and certain time, we have to look separate from the world. Well, now the world could care less. I've noticed that. No one cares to know what you know until they know you care. Do you know there's lost people that are lawyers that have shirts and ties on? They're lost, going to hell. They're very separated. They're lost. They're going to hell. So there's something we're missing in the church. There's something missing in this church. There's something missing in your life. And the first thing could be salvation. And I love going overseas because, man, I could preach religious but lost and they listen and there's tears in their eyes. I preach hell and they don't get offended. They're like, someone's finally telling me the truth. You know, and you go overseas and then, I don't know, I'm just concerned. First concern about me, and then I can be concerned about someone else. And I battled with what I was going to preach today. I didn't know what to preach. I have a message on many people have God in their head, but not Jesus in their heart. And I said, oh, no, I'm not going to preach that. And then I had another message about what is the gospel, because I've learned people in the church don't even know what the gospel is. And do you know that you're saved because of the gospel? When you hear the gospel, understand and believe it and put your heart and receive it, that's what makes you born again. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to do what? Unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What is the gospel? In a nutshell, we know in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1, 2, and 3, says the gospel of Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, rose again. But you know, that's a generalization. Because then you have to talk about why did Jesus Christ die on the cross. Because everyone believes, I mean, the drunk on the street, the Catholic, the whatever denomination, so of course, Jesus died on the cross. But that doesn't mean they're saved just because they recognize that Jesus Christ died on the cross. So there's a problem. It's the lack of preaching the gospel. A lot of people believe in Jesus and come to Jesus as if he's a pharmacist, like a pharmacy. And I'll give you an example. And there's a lot of truth to it, but it doesn't save your soul from hell. It doesn't help you after you die. And I'll give you an example. I hear a lot of preaching overseas, a lot of the charismatics and Pentecostals. And it doesn't even matter the denomination. You know, I just lump everyone together, saved and lost, that's all. But it's the truth, because there's Independent Baptists, too, that don't preach the gospel. And so they preach, if your marriage is messed up, come to Jesus, he'll fix it. And that's true, he will fix it, praise the Lord. But that's not why Jesus died on the cross. If you're a drunkard and you're living in sin and you're having problems and you can't find a job, you need to repent and come to Jesus. That's so true. But you know, a lot of times the sinner comes down the aisle because he wants a new life. He wants to stop drinking. And he prays a prayer for that new life, but he never repents of who he is, a sinner, going to hell without a Savior. And his heart cries out from his chest, Jesus, save me! You see, there's a difference. It's personal. It's something real. And it's a shame when we have people come in the altar praying and we're saying, pray this prayer. And I do that too. I mean, you pray, you seek Jesus, you trust Jesus, you get saved. But we do that, and what happens is they're like, nothing changed. Nothing even happened. But we have to convince them. You got saved, and if you did it, you're saved. And he's like, okay, he says it, the preacher says it. Then he goes home, he's like, nothing new in his heart. I don't believe that. I believe, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, your clothes might not change, your hair might not change, you might not be this holy guy, separated, day one, day two, but something changed. Your soul was saved from hell. That's pretty exciting. Imagine being passed from death into life and not knowing it. If you could be saved and not know it, you could be lost and not know it. Now think about it. Why aren't the Mormons coming to church? They think they're saved. Are they saved? But they think they are. It's interesting. A lot of the Catholics think they're saved. Well, that's why they're not coming to the cross, because they think they're okay. Well, the message I have today, and now I see even more, that it's God's will, and God wants to help somebody. Maybe even save someone from hell. And simply, the message of the gospel is how a lost sinner gone to hell, burned forever, can be forgiven and be with the Father forever. In general. That's the message. But no one wants to talk about that. People are getting nervous, upset, and start thinking, what are we trying to say? And everyone, I mean, shouldn't we be able to talk about the gospel and be excited? Shouldn't we all be like, woo, I'm saved, right? Okay. And I'm concerned about that. But I won't preach that tonight. I think that's going to be another night, maybe tomorrow or Sunday. But I would like to preach tonight is Luke 18, if you look with me, please. Luke chapter 18. I'm so happy to see my cousin. You know, my cousin was my best friend. I hope we're still best friends. Haven't seen him in a long time. We grew up together. I remember one time when you just got saved. You were newly saved. You came to Florida to be with me. You lived in my house. We went out witnessing, loving, reading the Bible. And then you came back home. And then I flew to come see you. And I stayed at your apartment. Remember you had a Jeep and apartment? And we were in your room just talking about Jesus. And gospel songs came on. And we said, let's pray. And we both, and guys, and this is not for, this is just me and him in the bedroom, fellowshipping, my cousin. We get down, we start laughing, crying, and praying and seeking Jesus. I miss that. And everyone should experience that. Frequently and oftenly walking with the Lord. And in Luke, I missed it. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Please look with me. Chapter 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Well, you know who they despised. People that weren't like them, sinners, Christians who have fallen, lost people, wicked people, people who aren't like them, that don't dress like them, and things like that. They despised others because they weren't as holy as they were. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, very religious person, actually holy too, in separation. If a Pharisee back in the Bible times came in this church, we'd think he was a pastor. Oh, absolutely. What's the difference between you and him? We're going to talk about that. What's the difference between us and a Pharisee nowadays? We're independent Baptist America, blah, blah, blah. We got the clothes, we got everything. We look just like the Pharisees, but there has to be something that separates us. What is that? We'll talk about that. Okay? And we see that, so, where are we at? 9, 10? Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Picture of a sinner, tax collector, was despised by the Jews. A sinner. Didn't have God, according to the Pharisees. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, so he recognized God, believed in God, talked to God. Is that true? You ever meet somebody and say, I believe he's saved. Why? Well, he prays to God. Lost people pray to God. Cornelius, Nicodemus. You ever meet somebody, I think he's saved. Why do you think he's saved? Because he loves God. Well, people can love God and go to hell. Loving God is great. I want to love God. We all love God. But that doesn't mean you're going to heaven because you love God. Doesn't mean you're going to heaven because you pray to God. You know that's true, right? Now look, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. He's very thankful. It's good to be thankful to God, isn't it? That I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I don't think anyone here, I mean, sometimes we, I don't know if we even, do we fast twice a week? Well, you know I'm not. Lord, forgive me, I need to. But honestly, when you read this list, it's kind of like, this guy's pretty holy. When you read this list, you're like, we need more people like that in the church that aren't adulterers, that aren't this, that aren't that, that tithe, that fast. I give tithes of all that I possess, 13. And the publican, sinner that doesn't know much, he's not trying to be anything, he just knows he's sinned against God. He just knows that he's nothing. And maybe he's someone. He just knows and recognizes who he really is. The Pharisee needed to get on his knees, but he couldn't because he really thought he was something. So, and the publican, standing afar off, wasn't even worthy to be with the holy ones, would not lift up so much his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, Jesus said after that, he said, I tell you, this man, the man who recognized he was a sinner, smoting his breast, humbled himself at the foot of the cross, recognized he needed a Savior, not in his mind, not in his mouth, not in his clothes, not in his knees, in his heart, in his soul, in his being. You know, a lot of people think they're saved because they give up. They think that's repentance. It's not repentance. You repent of who you are, a sinner. That's a little, you see, it's a little personal now. Because if all I did was ever drink one beer and smoke one cigarette, well, repentance to me, well, to some, not the Bible way, well, if I just say I'm sorry for smoking the cigarette and drinking one beer, well, then I'm okay because I repented. No, because the person you are, the reason why you drank the beer and smoked is because of who you are, your being, your being, your soul. And until you realize that your whole being is dead in trespasses and sins, totally against God, and you need a Savior, you'll never get saved. It's true. It's true. And that's why I find people in the church so easily look down on a sinner. It's hard for me because I know I was worse than them. Can I be honest with you? I'm the worst in this whole room. I know myself. I don't know you. I am the worst, probably Christian, the worst human being in this room. But can I tell you something? He's the best. He's the best. And there's things that God can't do. Did you know that? God can't lie. Every promise, every word is true. You can believe it. You can trust it. You can come to it. You know there's another thing that God can't do? There's not a sinner He cannot save. It doesn't matter how far you've gone, what you've done, skeletons in the closet, things that if people knew you'd be so embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed with Jesus. Come to Christ. Expose everything. Show who you are. Tell Him what you've done. It's the only way you'll get forgiveness. You can't hide from God and have secrets. And while you're smiling, amen, brother, there's like five devils in your heart. You can't do that. Bitterness and pride. Can't love a sinner down the street, a bum, can't put your arm around them. But you say you're a Christian, you got rings of all these titles, and you can't win a drunk to Christ. I don't want to hear anything you have to say, brother. God doesn't care about your titles and your clothes and the position. He wants to know if you can talk to Jesus, love sinners, love God, love man. That's what's really important. I love some churches I go to all day long. King James Bible, King James Bible. And I'm King James Bible like 500%. I believe it's inspired and everything. But guys, sinners aren't coming to your door because you're King James Bible. No one cares to know what you know until you start caring about people. Holiness is in the heart. And I want to talk about something. What we see here is morality is not spirituality. Now, a spiritual man will be moral. But you could be so moral and have the clothes and not be a drunk and not be a thief and maybe you weren't a prostitute and you've never been a drug addict, but you know what? You're just as wicked as they are. But you know, a lot of people in the church don't see it. Especially, I have kids that grade in the church. You guys have kids in church. Our kids were never whoremongers and thieves. So they think that they don't have a testimony like some drunk. That's not true. It's a lie from the devil. In Paraguay, I know an eight-year-old boy. What did he do? I don't know. What did an eight-year-old boy do? I don't know. Okay? And we preached the message, hell is hot and heaven is sweet. And this eight-year-old boy came down the aisle with tears in his eyes. He said, Jesus, save me. I'm wicked. People like laughing, giggling. No. He said, I'm wicked. I need forgiveness. And someone went over there and prayed with him and he got saved. And we felt led. I felt, tell your testimony because I know this wasn't normal. It should be, but it wasn't. And he came up and said, tell us your testimony. He was like, I just heard the message and I realized that I'm wicked and I'm a sinner. against God. And I believed in God, born in the Christian home. And I've always heard about Jesus. And I've always known God's real. And it's by grace. I've known all the truth. Well, you know the devil knows the truth. Yes. See, a lot of people switch. They're Catholics, right? And they, well, I've always believed in Jesus. That's what they say. Well, I've always believed in Jesus. Oh, but now I know it's not by works, it's by grace. So they switch denominations in their church and they think they're saved. You're not saved? That's not salvation changing. Listen, a lot of truth is in people's heads, but the truth is not in their heart. And so this little boy gave a testimony, and everyone was like dumbfounded because, like, how is he that wicked? What did he do? And he said, and God showed me that I was wicked towards Him. I was a bad person in my heart toward God. And I knew that God loved me so much, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. I'm the sinner which Christ died for. Tears in his eyes. And now I'm saved. And the whole church went, amen. Now hold on. He's 8. Tell me that wasn't a powerful testimony. He never once mentioned he was out in the drugs and all that. And so you got people in church that can't even talk like that. What if I get the microphone right now? Say, okay, we're going to give testimony time. Let's go. And we're just going to go to every single one. Tell us how you got saved. You're going to hear textbook. Zero heart, zero passion, zero I was burnt, I was going to hell, I was lost, and I came to Christ. Well, that's emotionalism. It is. I thought that was the power. I thought that's what we sing about in all of our songs. We sing about it, but don't be like it. Don't talk like it, because you might shake someone out of their salvation. Shake someone out of their salvation. Woo! Glory to God! Guys, In South America, we don't worry about this stuff. I want people to doubt the salvation. Oh, hold on. Let me explain. Number one, if I have a new convert that's really saved doubting his salvation, that allows me to help him spiritually and help him to be stronger and teach him. So it's not a bad thing. Pastors don't want to now take time to care about souls and their spiritual condition. I don't fear if someone doubts their salvation. Let me ask you a question. If someone doubts your salvation, are they filled with the Holy Spirit? No. Yeah, filled with the Holy Ghost. Woo-hoo! I don't even know if I'm saved. What am I doing? So then, could they be carnal? So then what we do is say, no, they just don't understand doctrinal, because once you're saved, you're always saved. Of course that's true. You have eternal life, you can't lose eternal life. But there's people who know all the doctrine, but they don't know it here. I would rather the soldiers for Christ that have a testimony. I was lost, but now I'm found. Down south, it's called the Bible Belt. Everyone's saved.
Yeah.
Everyone's saved. So winning souls, the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. Not in textbook. So I'm not that wise. But I know how to win some souls. And all you have to do is be saved and know you're saved and understand the gospel. That's all. So I'd go to them and say, instead of asking them, are you saved? I ask them, how you doing? My name's Mike, and I just want to let you know I'm a Christian. I was lost, and now I'm saved. Before I say, how's your heart? I want to talk about my heart. And Jesus saved me from hell, and now I'm forgiven. Can I ask you a question? Yeah, sure. Was there ever a time in your life you knew you were going to hell? What? Yeah, was there ever a time in your life you knew that you were going to burn in hell because you were lost without God? Well, I prayed a prayer. I was baptized. No, I that's great. But was there ever a time in your life that you knew that you were guilty before God, lost, a sinner going to hell? You know what they say down south? Never even knew that. But before then, they told me that they received Christ and they were saved. You see that? Anyone could just say it. Now, you could be a moral person, but not spiritual. To be a moral person is very good. We all need to be moral. But this does not mean you're spiritual. God says He's looking for those to worship Him in spirit and in what? Spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. God wants His children to be spiritual and walk in the Spirit. But I see the majority of the people in the church today hide behind being moral to hide their wicked and carnal heart. Well, think about it. If a guy comes in with a suit and shirt with a Bible in his hand, we think automatically he's right with God, he's spiritual. Whoa. And you can even memorize words. Amen, brother, glory to God. Hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. But in your heart, there's no zeal. There's no fire for God. There's no tears in your eyes like a song. There's no, like, excitement for lost sinners. There's no, like, burden. There's no love for the brethren. It's weird for me because I teach our men down in Paraguay. I say, guys, this is a soul winning church. We want the church to grow, not because of numbers, because we care about souls. And we want people to be know Christ. And we want to impact the nation for Christ. So this is what we're going to do. Men, I don't care who it is. If there's a visitor, he's a man. Drunk, bum, shorts, flip-flops, smells, it doesn't matter. Dirty, sinner, drug addict, I don't care. If he walks through those doors, I want every man in of our church to go up to him, hug him, say, brother, or it doesn't matter what you say, but say, brother, thanks for coming here. We love you in Christ. Next guy. Oh, man, what's your name? Thanks for coming. We've done that in Paraguay, and you got sinners. Before they even sit down, tears in their eyes. My dad never even hugged me. No one's ever loved me. And I come to this church that preaches Jesus, and everyone's loving me for Christ. People want that, not your tie and suit. Now, I believe in wearing ties and suits, so don't get me wrong. I'm wearing one. But what I'm saying is, people think they're right with God because they're faithful in church. So are the Mormons. Guys, Catholics are faithful. Mormons are faithful. Jehovah's Witnesses are more faithful. Are they right with God? No. So then you're not right with God just because you're faithful. I thank God you're faithful. And we need to be faithful. So what happens is, to hide the sin nature in our heart, to hide the problem of pride and bitterness that we have with our brother, or with our mother, or with our family, or with we can't forgive, we act all spiritual, but God can't use us. Morality is not spirituality. Would you agree with me? Look with me in Luke chapter 11, please. I was taught a long time, if God doesn't touch you, you'll never change. Would you agree with that? I want to be touched every sermon, every message, every theological sentence. I want to be touched. I heard great preaching, and I'm not even good, actually. Seriously. But a great preacher, I learned, will do two things. Will touch your intellect, touch your emotion, and draw out your will. Luke 11:39. Look with me, please. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees, remember the Pharisee that prayed, make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your what? It's your heart. It's your character. It's who you are inside. It's your spirit. It's full of ravening and wickedness. Many people are proud and content because they don't smoke anymore. We shouldn't smoke and you should quit smoking, but that's cleaning up your life for society. Guys, I've learned so much being away from America and Paraguay because everyone's religious. Everyone. So how do you win people who all are saved? And that's why a lot of missionaries don't make it because they don't know how to win a soul. They just think Jesus loves you and it's by grace. They're like, okay, I'll accept that too. You got to get in there, find what are they trusting in to take it out. You see? For an example, you can go to AAA. Was it Alcoholics Anonymous? You said that you don't, you know, that's not of God. That's not real spiritual. They don't preach Jesus Christ. But you know what? People are stopping to drink because of AAA. Does that mean they're right with God because they stopped drinking? I'm asking you a question. Are they right with God now because they stopped drinking?
No.
Exactly. And I believe we should stop drinking. All of us. If you drink here, please repent. Okay? Now, many people are proud and content because he does not smoke anymore, I don't drink anymore, and I'm faithful to church. But you have bitterness, you don't love sinners. You can't talk about Jesus with your heart, with joy. You know why a lot of people don't win souls to Christ? Real conversions, like wow? Number one, you can't talk about someone you don't know. And a lot of people talk about Jesus as a historical fact, like Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was once a president, and he did this, and he was part of the Civil War, and this person's like, oh, but it doesn't seem like you have a personal relationship with him, but you're telling me facts about him. Have you ever hugged Abraham Lincoln? Have you ever talked to him? Has he ever touched your heart and had tears? You can't talk about Jesus in a real way if you don't know him. And how are you going to convince a sinner if you don't even have joy about Jesus in your heart? No, but seriously. You go to the door, knock, everybody knock, Romans Road, you need to be saved, come to church. And the people are like, guys, the lost people aren't stupid. Everyone judges and sizes one another up, and they're saying, man, you want me to have Jesus, but I don't even see Jesus in you. And I'm not saying we need to be fake, and I'm not saying we have to put on a show, because people know that too. Guys, people know when I got to show that I'm happy. It's not real. You can't love me, you don't hug me, you don't love anyone. It's not real. But lost people see through that. And they mock it. I talk to people in the street all the time, they're bashing. Well, they're wrong. Yeah, but sometimes they're right. And I have to cover. Guys, I'm not talking about being holy. I'm not even saying, hey, guys, I think you're all holy. No, I'm serious. Outwardly, to me, you guys are like great, godly, separated, spiritual people. But can you tell me about Christ in your heart? Can you tell me about what He's done for your heart? Can you love a sinner? Can you pray with someone when they're down without looking down? The only time you should look down on someone is to lift them up. Amen. A lot of sinners are hurt. Not by lost people, by church people. It's true. That's very true. But you have bitterness, you don't love sinners, you can't talk about Jesus in your heart. A spiritual person wins and restores souls spiritually. And I'm going to soon close. Look with me in Galatians chapter 6. Is there anyone here that the problem is not your outward, but your problem is in your inward? You're dealing with bitterness. Okay. One person admitted it. Can I tell you something? I'd rather be with him than 10 people who don't admit it. I'd rather be with drunks, not doing what they do, not hanging out, but with them talking about the gospel, than 10 religious, self-righteous people that think they're better than everyone and they're so godly. I'm sorry. I'd rather be around people who could talk about the grace of God. You know, in order to talk about grace, you have to once be a disgrace. How are you going to brag about the grace of God if you never were lost and wicked? One more. I have to say this. Do you know the parable? The Lord showed me this. Do you know the parable where the woman comes down and Jesus was invited by a Pharisee to eat. His name was Simon. And Jesus went with the Pharisees. He went with the religious leaders to touch their hearts, to win them to Christ, to forgive them of their sins. And as Jesus is there sitting and they're conversating with the religious leaders that thought they were spiritual, a wicked sinner woman, many men in her life, looking for love. No one's ever treated her respect. No one's ever cared about her. Down in her luck, problems, sin. And she met Jesus. And Jesus didn't judge her and say, you're wicked. You know what he did? He said, I know you're a sinner. But I came to save you. Sin no more. And you know what? This lady is crying, busts in, and starts weeping, and the tears are falling on Jesus' feet, and she's watching. And instantly, instead of the Pharisees, this, praise God, sinners are coming to Christ. They say, if he was spiritual, he would know what kind of woman toucheth him. They thought that didn't say it. Jesus read their minds. You know what Jesus said? Simon, I have something to say. Oh, Lord, say on. Well, what's going on? And you know what he said? You know what he said? Since I came in your house, you've given me no water for my feet. This woman is washing my feet with tears. You've not kissed me. You've not loved me. This woman. Now watch what he said. Listen, I want everyone to listen, please. He that has been forgiven much, what? Loveth much. He that was forgiven little, loveth little. But guys, Jesus wasn't saying that the Pharisee was really forgiven little. No one's forgiven little. You see, you guys don't understand. That was an example. The Pharisee, in his eyes, he was forgiven little. No one's forgiven little. We're all bad. We all need Jesus. We all need to get down and say, God, I'm sorry. God doesn't need you. We need Him. That's why. So if someone loves little, it's not because they were forgiven little. In their mind, they were only forgiven little because I wasn't that bad. I only smoked once and drank. Guys, we're having a problem. Wow. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, there's not many spiritual people anymore. Moral, know a lot of Bible, a lot of talents, but not spiritual. There's a big difference. And being spiritual is not walking around like a priest all holy and, oh, that's not spiritual. It's loving people. It's confessing your sins. It's repenting yourself, keeping clean, obeying your conscience. I got to read one more verse. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. You guys know it, but look at me. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? The Pharisee can't help anyone. We have so many church members that can't help anyone. And they'll say, Pastor, help them. Pastor, help them. You can help people. You can help people if you're spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of what? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Because you're no one. You can fall too. You might not commit adultery, and you might not be a drunk, and that might not ever be your temptation, but pride and bitterness and self-righteousness comes in your heart, and it's the same in God's eyes. Amen. Not man. We have levels, right? Okay? Look with me, please. Well, I'm going to have to stop because of time. But what I wanted to say, a Christian must focus on being spiritual. Why? In Romans 8:8, just listen. The carnal man, no one can please God in the flesh. But you know what we think flesh is? We'll judge the television. And you know what? Yeah, we shouldn't get the television. But you can get rid of your television and have bitterness and pride in your heart. And a lot of times where we think holiness and we think flesh is like playing football or playing basketball and laughing and joking, that's not true. Where is this coming from? That's religion creeping in. When someone offends you, can you forgive them? That's spiritual. The Pharisee couldn't forgive or love that sinner. When someone tells you you're wrong and you're really wrong, I know it hurts and I know it hits your flesh, but can you look back and say, wait a minute, if it's true, I need to recognize, will you please forgive me, brother? Sister, will you forgive me? I did offend you. I did do something. That's spiritual. You see? Do you see now? Spirituality is in the heart. It's being filled with the Spirit. It's being led by the Spirit. It's doing things with the heart. And I'm going to end with this because I can't finish my message. But look in 1 Timothy. And I think I have a message that I'd love to preach one day. It's called being put on the shelf, being shipwrecked in faith. A lot of times we think being put on shelf are the a preacher has fallen in sin. There's preachers preaching right now on the shelf. Zero power, zero tears, zero influence spiritually. They're just good leaders. And they're smart with money, and they know how to guide, and they know how to organize. But worldly, and we should be like that. I want to be more like that. But power of God, influence, spirituality, wow, real repentance, and souls coming to Christ. It's not there anymore. And then I want to be spiritual. Can I tell you why? I don't want you to look thinking I'm big or I'm better. I want to please my Father. I want to help sinners. When I'm carnal, I've noticed I can't help anyone. I can joke and fool around, have buddies, but help them spiritually in their heart, bring them Christ, lift them up for the Lord. When you're carnal, you can't do that. Is that true? Are you spiritual, brother? Are you spiritual? Are you easily angered? When you're driving, you're flipping the bird, you're all these things, and you're all angry, and but that's okay. You're under grace. As someone looks at you, and you're not spiritual. I would rather be with people that are in sin, weeping, knowing that they need help, than self-righteous, pharisaical Christians who are, they think they got everything down, but their hearts are so far from God. Your presence, your service, your actions, no, but your heart is so far from God. I'm just going to end. I'm not even going to read anymore. Because of the time. I'm looking at the time. Are you spiritual, my brother? Is there someone you have to apologize to? Is there someone you have to get right with? Sometimes you go to church and you can't even listen to the message because you've got so much junk inside. But you got your shirt and tie, you got the Bible. You're moral, but you're not spiritual. Do you despise others? Do you judge others? Do you love people, love sinners? Do you share Christ? Not just, talk about Christ in your heart before the text. Tell me what Jesus, how he went in, and tell us how you've been made new. Well, nothing really happened. Is there someone here that has Christ in your head, and you know everything, but you don't have Christ in your heart? Why don't we stand, please? Why they come up and sing a song? Listen, the altar's open. You don't have to wait to the second hour. Do you want to wait? You can stay in there and see. If God touched you in something and you need help, why don't you come and talk to Jesus? Come, brother. Come. I don't care what you've done. Christ will forgive you. You know you're suffering inside. You know you're playing and it's a game and you come to church. And man, we're professionals now.